Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis, and coming up we're being encouraged with the providence of God in the life of Joseph. We're concluding a message called Joseph, His Brothers in Providence, as we go back to basics.
Then he said, what pledge shall I give you? So she said, your signet and cord and your staff that is in your hand. Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. So she arose and went away and laid aside her veil and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend Adullam to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he did not find her. Then he asked the men of the place, saying, where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. So he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. Also, the men of the place said, there was no harlot in this place. Then Judah said, let her take them for herself, lest we be ashamed, for I sent the young goat, and you have not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months later, after that, Judah was told, saying, Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry. So Judah said, listen to this, bring her out and let her be burned. So, man, look at the ruthlessness here. Now, he hears that Tamar has played the harlot. She's to be burned. What about him soliciting a harlot? You see the double standard that, you know, has historically been there, even to this very day. There seems to be a double standard between what men are allowed to do and what women are allowed to do in this particular area. You know, for a man to go out on his wife, that's something to boast about. For a woman to go out on her husband, oh, that's a dreadful and shameful thing. Of course, both of them are dreadful and shameful. But again, we just see that this double standard isn't anything new. It's been around from the early days of human history. So Judah wants to have her burned. And when she was brought out, she sent to her father-in-law saying, by the man to whom these belong, I am with child. And she said, please determine whose these are, the signet and cord and staff. Ooh, Judah was busted big time. So Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah my son, and he never knew her again. So it was wrong what Tamar did. It was akin to what we've seen happening in the lives of others previously. Not trusting God, but instead taking matters into her own hands and trying to, you know, vindicate herself rather than trusting the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. You see, she's going to have two sons, as we're going to read in a moment. And Perez is going to be the one through whom the messianic line is going to carry on. So, of course, this all already had to happen before the world was ever created. And you can be sure that God had a way to accomplish it where he didn't need people to revert to sin and to scheming and plotting and deceiving to get it all done. But again, this is so often what we revert to, even as God's people. When we're waiting and the Lord doesn't seem to be moving, he doesn't seem to be acting, the big temptation comes for us to jump in and try to make it happen ourselves. And this is we see this again over and over here as we go through the lives of these different people. And so, verse 27, now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that, behold, twins were in her womb. And so it was when she was giving birth that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened, as he drew back his hand, that his brother came out unexpectedly, and she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterward his brother came out, who had the scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was called Zerah. And so Perez will be the one. As we look in the genealogies, Perez is the name that appears there. So chapter 38, I think, does a couple of things. It reveals to us, again, the character of these men that we're dealing with, the ones who sent Joseph into slavery. But it also shows how God overrules when men are not cooperating. God's plan is still going to be accomplished. And with Judah's unjust dealings with Tamar, God overrules in all of that, and he allows certain things to happen, and he providentially brings about his ultimate purpose through those things. And that's the thing that I want to move toward as we wrap things up this evening, talking for a few minutes about providence, the providence of God. Now, one commentator had this to say. I thought it was excellent. He said, it was God's intention already revealed to Abraham to bring the chosen family under foreign dominion until the iniquity of the Amorites should be full and Canaan ripe for possession. So the train of events to lead Israel into Egypt is set in motion through the rivalries and predicaments of the 12 brothers under the hand of God. The story is a classic example of divine providence. So when we talk about providence, what are we talking about? And that we use that term sometimes. Previous generations have used it sometimes more than we do. It's interesting, if you read in the writings of the founding fathers of this country, many of them were not Christians in the sense that we think of Christians, you know, biblical Christians, born-again Christians. They were believers in God. They were theist. And they spoke much about God's providential rule over things. And they believed that in God's providence, he had brought about the development or the birth of this nation. And so they would sometimes even substitute providence for God. Rather than use even a reference to God, they would just simply speak of providence. Providence means that continuous activity of God whereby he makes all the events of the physical, mental, and moral realms work out for his purpose. And this purpose is nothing short of the original design of God in creation. To be sure, evil has entered the universe, but it is not allowed to thwart God's original, benevolent, wise, and holy purpose. So you see, providence is God overruling all of men's plots and schemes and intentions, overruling even their evil activities to ultimately and finally bring about his will. And with Joseph, providence is seen amazingly in the life of Joseph. Because as we have seen, his brothers were evil men. His brothers hated him. All of their intentions toward him were purely evil. But God had a plan to save Israel from a famine that he knew was going to come. And he's going to save them by getting Joseph to Egypt. And so he allows his evil brothers to plot against him and to sell him into slavery. And he uses all of that to fulfill ultimately his purpose. And as we, I hate to jump to the end of the story, but we've got a ways to go to get through it. But at the end, when it's all finally said and done, and his brothers are petrified of Joseph finally, thinking, okay, now that our father is dead, he's going to kill us. He's going to take vengeance on us. He's going to pay us back for what we did to him all those years ago. And they come groveling before Joseph. Joseph says, look, am I in the place of God? He said, you did indeed intend it for evil, but God meant it for good. He said, I've got nothing. I will not extract any vengeance on you, because I realize that the hand of God was in it all. And so we see that providence with Joseph. We see later when we come to the New Testament in the book of Acts, Peter, you know, he says essentially the same thing in regard to Jesus when he's talking to the very men that crucified him. He said, you've taken by wicked hands, you've crucified and slain, but this all happened according to the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So you see, this is what providence is. God, he brings all of these circumstances together that seem unrelated or seem to not at all be able to fit into the plan, but he brings it all together to work out his glorious purposes. Now, to me, this is one of the mind-boggling things about God. You know, how he can do that is, that's part of the mystery of omniscience. I don't understand that. But that is certainly what the scriptures teach. Now, with providence, it's not just something that was experienced in the life of Joseph or in, you know, those that we're reading about here in the pages of Scripture. It's something that we experience as well. It's something that occurs quite, I think, frequently in our lives. If you want a good study in the providence of God, pick up Pastor Chuck's new book, Memoirs of Grace, because to a large degree, that's what it is. And it's fascinating as you read through the story to see how over years and years, the Lord is moving Chuck and Kay to different places and connecting them with different people and then disconnecting them from those people and not really understanding, you know, why and what was happening and, you know, why they went in this direction versus that direction and why these people came and they were such great people, but then they ended up having to leave and, you know, just kind of one story after another like that. But then you see there comes a point where the whole thing, all of these past relationships, all of this history, all of this moving around from different places to different churches, it all culminates in this work that God wants to do. And all of those people that were connected at one point but then seemed to become disconnected, they all get connected back together again in this great work that God determined to do. And when you look at this, you know, this move of the Spirit that we call the Jesus movement, or, you know, the beginning of the Calvary Chapel ministry, you see that God's providence is all over it. And again, we see this in our lives. I think of some of my own experiences. I think of some of the people that I've met, you know, seemingly randomly over the years. And some of the people that I have ended up getting connected with. And even at times wondering, you know, why am I connected with this person? Or what's the attraction to this person? Or, you know, under certain circumstances, I wouldn't even, you know, associate with this person. Not that they were a bad person or anything, but just, you know, it just wasn't the kind of person I would normally connect with, but I would find there was a strong connection. But then we would go our separate ways and end up doing different things. But lo and behold, at a certain point, all of a sudden, something happens, and those relationships and the significance of them, it all comes together, and boom, there we are. God's got us doing something. And I'll never forget a couple of things. When we went to, one of the great things that I learned in London, I learned that when you're looking to establish a team of people to minister alongside of, the best thing to do is let God do it. I really did. I learned that. Because, you know, we kind of assembled a team, people that we liked, people that we felt connected with, people that we thought, well, this is going to be great. And, you know, we found that it just, you know, it didn't work. It worked previously under certain circumstances, but when we got into that particular one, it just didn't work. But then we found that the Lord actually would start bringing these other people, people from our past, people who we had met or connected with at other places. And then in the end, we ended up with, I looked around and thought, you know, this is the most unlikely team. I never would have assembled this team, but this is the right team. And you could see the providence of God. You could see the hand of God in it. I'll never forget one other story. I'll never forget a long time ago. I forgot how long ago, but I won't forget the event. It was a long time ago. Well, I think it was back in 1983. So how long ago was that? 26 years ago. 26 years ago, I was sitting right over there, and there was a pew there back then, and I had been teaching. I think it was a Monday night. I had been teaching, and there was a man who had been helping out in the ministry here at the time, and his name was Gaylord Tohill. And Cheryl and I had made a commitment. The Lord had called us to head down to Vista, North San Diego County, and to take up the ministry down there. And I had met Gaylord one time before. Him and his wife had come in for some brief counseling about something to do with their son. And I'd seen him around the church, but I hadn't really had any deep conversation with him. So on this final night, when I'm doing this Monday night Bible study, afterwards, I sit down over there, and Gaylord comes and he sits down. And for the next hour, I just tell him everything that God's doing in our lives and how, you know, the Lord's sending us down to Vista. And so we finished our conversation, and he left, and Cheryl and I left, and we went home. We went home to pack. And I remember driving home, and I said to Cheryl, I go, you know, that was weird. Why did I tell that Gaylord guy all of that stuff? You know, it was just kind of strange. I just thought that was odd. But you know, the next day, Gaylord showed up at my house and said, hey, could we help you guys pack? And we said, well, sure. Yeah, we could use the help. So they helped us pack. And then a few days later, hey, could we help you guys move? Oh, sure. Yeah. You could help us move. We can use the help. And so they helped us move. And then we got down there, and we took on the ministry at the church there. And then Gaylord said to me, hey, do you mind if we come down there on Sundays? And maybe I could just, you know, I could, like, clean the bathrooms, or I could just help out with the you know, just some of the things. And I thought, well, you know, it's just Cheryl and I. We could use some help. That'd be nice. Sure, come on down. And so they started coming down on Sundays. And that happened for several months. And the funny thing about Gaylord was that he had been the vice president of a very successful company. He'd retired at the age, I think, of 34 or so. And he was basically floating around in the harbor on his boat, reading his Bible, saying, God, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? And so, but they kept coming down and, you know, visiting and there on the weekends and helping out. And it was such a blessing. You know, we were young. I was 26 and Cheryl was 23. And we didn't know exactly what we were doing. And so, you know, they kept coming down weekend after weekend. And, you know, finally, I looked at Gaylord one day when we were working together side by side. And I said, you know, why don't you just be my assistant pastor? He said, well, okay. I said, well, you're kind of doing that already anyway, you know, but why don't you just come on and do it? And he said, okay, well, you know, we'll pray about it. And then, you know, they prayed about it and they, you know, were living up here still. They were commuting back and forth. And we thought, oh, surely, you know, they'll get their house sold real quickly and get down. But that didn't happen. The house didn't sell for a long time, and they commuted down for the longest time, but just faithfully, every weekend there, every Wednesday there. And, you know, but I look back, my whole point is, I look back at that conversation that we had right there, and I realized that was providence. Because God was preparing not only me to go down there, God was preparing Gaylord to come alongside of me. I didn't even know it. And I didn't really even know him at the time. And at the time, I never would have even suggested such a thing. But just as I shared with him what was on my heart for the ministry down there, God touched his heart. And see, that's what happens. You never know. But you come in here on a Wednesday night, you come in here on a Sunday morning, you come on here a Sunday night, whatever, Monday night, whatever. You come and you meet somebody and you strike up a conversation. You don't know what's going to happen. This could be the very relationship that's going to thrust you into some ministry, some thing that you've never even dreamed that you would be doing. But that's how God works providentially. And God providentially works to bring us together. Circumstances beyond our control that put us in the right place at the right time in the right relationships. That's providence. It was providence that I decided with a few friends to go to a Bible study on New Year's Day in 1980, when we didn't think that there was even a Bible study that we could go to. And it was providence, because when I walked in that Bible study, a really pretty girl was walking out of it. And I saw her, and I thought, why is she leaving? I just got here. But she left. But you know, I remembered what she looked like. She was really cute. And now she's my wife and has been for 29 years. But, you know, that was a providential encounter. And this is part of the thrill, the excitement, the adventure of the Christian life, to just sort of stand back and see what the Lord will do. It's a great thing.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Joseph, His Brothers, and Providence, and the resource number is B0047. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.